Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in is called Yellow Electric Warrior, and it is the third day of the White Wizard Wave Spell, and it is the Rhythmic Moon Day 18. And I talked last podcast about the third week in the West, so I try not to be redundant. I want to refer you to that if you are not aware of what the third week in the West means, and you want also, or you want me to show you how that can impact this particular rhythmic moon that we're in. Meanwhile, we're just in the third week in the West. We're halfway through a lot of what's influential in the third week this time is the actual moon cycle being full and all of that tidal intensity. I love how the full moon is like 3 to 4 days actually in terms of this, I was going to say disturbing bright light, but maybe it is just more illuminating and intensifying bright nocturnal light. And it is so much beauty. If there's not clouds where you are, then just watching the moon rise in the midst of winter, I suppose because there is so much darkness, that there is this delight in having the illumination of the moon. So that's a beautiful part of this third week in the West, which amplifies tidal influence regardless of where the moon is. It's a time where the emotionality of us is churning, and I think that's a perfect reflection of ourselves being tidal and having fluctuations in our feeling state. But right now, you can take some of the blame off of yourself if you're acting like a lunatic or feeling that you are churning or tidally imbalanced, or maybe this is the first time you're conceptualizing like, oh, it's tidal imbalance, I'm liquid, the moon is pulling drastically at the ocean and myself. But meanwhile, prior to that, or in the midst of that, you might have been feeling just personally unstable or moody. I mean, sometimes when the moon is full, I'll just get exhausted all of a sudden, and then I'll recognize, like, I think it's probably right at an ebbing tide where I've been pulled all to the extreme in one direction and now it's shifting internally as well, and that makes me sleepy. So these are things that we can pay attention to and connect to the third week in the West. And then beyond that, we are beginning the White Wizard Wave Spell, and the beginning of any wave spell, whether it's 13 days or 13 moons or 13 years, can be both slow and turgid as well as overwhelming. I was going to say intense, but that would be a word that I would use at every juncture. So let's vary it. It would be overwhelming because beginning something is like being in the slog or the overwhelm or the realization like, what, I'm going to try to do this? And what a wave spell is I'm going to try to go into the depths of my unconscious and find something that's been hidden, pressed down, has been kept in the subterranean, or we could say sub-oceanic regions of self, and it's about to rise to the surface and actually carry me with its rising gesture all the way to a place where I am meeting my Godhead, and then it's going to collapse and bring me back to Earth, and I will float in the, is it flotsam of all of this uproarious growth, evolution, like this carbonated celebration of plunging back after that climb, and then back underground, but it's underwater. And that's where we are in the front end of a wave spell. We're underwater. I mean, I am so redundant. Like, but I'm really trying to always get the student to see, sense what it would be like to be deep in the ocean where the current begins. A wave that we see from the shore or riding along the surface of the ocean is well into its gestation by that time. It starts before we see its growth against gravity. It is growing against gravity, but from an unseen realm. So that's how we begin. I keep talking about the ocean because I am childlike and grew up by the ocean and live by the ocean and love the ocean. And I don't have any other major metaphor for this wave spell except a wave in the ocean. But if you want to just ignore all that, the wave spell is this journey that begins in our unconscious. And it can be painful to begin the journey in the depths of ourselves because we don't know what's going on. It's dark for a reason in there. We're going into the darkness, the unknown part of self, something that's been suppressed or never discovered. And we do this ritually, and it is the work of following this path, because the path is jubilant and exotic and varied, but choosing to observe these practices and this calendric system is jubilant because one is always riding the wave and being in motion that's repetitive and cyclical and beautiful instead of erratic. So once again, we can say, oh, the Gregorian calendar is practical. It does measure our Earth moving around the sun. It takes 365 days. A day is the Earth spinning on its axis. Nothing wrong with that astronomy. But subdividing the year into 12 months that are uneven in length is insane. Like, what in life is calibrated erratically? You know, like, things happen erratically or nonsensically, or nature is unpredictable, but we have chosen for thousands of years to do something over and over that's erratic. And, you know, what is that colloquialism? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. And I guess expecting different results, but I mean, like, it's insane to follow an erratic, uneven. It's not erratic, it's uneven. It's arrhythmic. And I'm talking about this in the rhythmic moon. The sixth of 13 tones is rhythmic. So I'm pointing out why rhythmic is important and arrhythmic is unhealthy. You know, my dad has arrhythmia and he has to medicate. His heart doesn't beat evenly. That's a problem. That's a terminal condition if not treated. So here we are, just generally and genuinely trying to be rhythmic. So I went off on that. That was a bit of a rant. I don't even know where I began. I know that I was trying to talk about the wave spell as a personal experience. If you don't want to just see it as the rise and fall of the ocean with you riding that wave, then think of it as going to the depths of self and discovering something anew or for the first time and bringing it to the light and celebrating it and trying to take all the vigor that comes with revealing self to self to its peak, you know, be the surfer then, back to the ocean, but just ride the high of self-discovery as far as you can go, and then it'll be quelled, and you come back and you're still kind of buzzed and elated, or you're satisfied. A journey, you know, when we take a journey, probably for me, the nature hike, wherever it goes, how many dogs get lost? What is the tick infestation? When it's over, it's wonderful. You know, it's the post-endorphin high. It's, you know, the space and peace of nature. That's what happens at the end of a wave spell, the end of the journey. But the start of the wave spell is confusing and disorienting, and there are a lot of unknowns. And again, it's dark. And here we are, day 3. But I'm saying all this because we're in the second year of 13, and I want to point that out sometimes. Yesterday was Blue Lunar Eagle, and we're in a Blue Lunar Storm year, so they're connected a bit. They're not the same, but they have similarities. And we're in a White Wizard 13-year wave spell, and we're in a White Wizard 13-day wave spell. And in the White Wizard 13-year wave spell, the second year is Blue Lunar Storm, and it's a big year. And we're in a lunar year for another, you know, we're almost halfway. Actually, 6.5. Yeah, I didn't get to celebrate that, but our mid-year is always... No, that's wrong. Okay, I'm sorry, everyone. How does this work? Magnetic, lunar, electric, self-existing, overtone. Okay, in the middle of the resonant moon, which is next moon, that's the mid-year. So I was just doing the math wrong, and I do the math wrong a lot these days. Thanks for your patience. It's because I'm using the math part of my brain to remodel a house, and the math part of my brain is spent. So this Blue Lunar Storm year will be about halfway over soon, in 4 weeks. But we're in it, and we're in the thick of it. It's a lunar year. It's a Blue Lunar Storm year. It could be the most arduous, sort of descriptively, of the 52 years that we go through together, because we go through the July 26th new year creates 52 different year names, and this could be the hardest one, and I'll explain why. It's lunar, and lunar years, you know, 13 moons, 364 days of lunar energy, that's a lot. And Blue Storm is a lot. It's a lot. I am one. I know this. And I know how it feels collectively to have a year of a storm energy. So the combination is pretty intense. I was going to say pretty lethal, but that was just too histrionic. It's a blue cosmic storm year is also pretty intense. I thought going through the red moon wave spell of 13 years was personally really intense, but it might be because it was my antipode for 13 years. That can happen to some of you, that you have an antipode for 13 years. If you're a yellow seed listening, White Wizard is your antipode, and we're on year 2 of 13. So I'm a little spazzy about all this, but be patient with yourself, and I speak to myself, that being in the lunar year and having it be hard makes sense. It just makes sense. Challenging. The word is challenging. Identify the challenge. Be challenged. Notice challenge. Have challenge be the focus. That's what's happening right now. Blue lunar storm. But we made it to the third day of the White Wizard wave spell that is only 13 days long. Today is yellow lunar, electric warrior. So even if you're listening early or I'm recording early, we are gathering some speed, spaciousness, working our way into the White Wizard wave spell, which I love. I just love it. I want to talk about it because I might forget it given how much rhythmic energy is making me do the same thing over and over, and how human handyman I'm being, or I'm not super illuminated right now. I'll look at that moon, or I'll see the sun on the water, and I'll be observing, like, that's beautiful. But my heart is, you know, weary from the tasks at hand. So I want to sing the praises and really be in the celebration of White Wizard, the wave spell that is a microcosm of the macrocosm of the 13 years that we're in, that I love. I love the 13-year White Wizard wave spell. Like I said, I had 13 years of Red Moon, which really stretched me as my opposite. And so maybe I'm just relieved that it's not that. But I really loved fairy tales when I was young, and I emphasize that when we're in the White Wizard time, we are living a fairy tale, and that is not the happy ending part. A fairy tale is almost no happiness. It almost always, within the first paragraph or page, sets up this trauma that is happening. Somebody's mother is dead. Separations have happened. Children are in hostile environments. People are exiled. There's a rescue that must happen, or something terrible will come of it. Someone's been poisoned. You know, this happens right away. And then there's just lots of pages of unraveling that initial quandary while adding a whole bunch of other setbacks. And every time it feels like it's too much, then magically there's this guide, helper, an agent of grace. And that's why I like the White Wizard wave spell of 13 days and of 13 years. We do have White Wizard years, so it'd be 13 moons of White Wizard, but we're not in one right now. We're in a blue storm year, so 13 moons of blue storm energy. But I just talk about rhythmic. I mean, what I just described is very predictable. So for all of us who are just taxed or feel kind of, you know, it could be anywhere on the spectrum from a trial and tribulation to torment, you know, that's cyclical, because there's going to be an agent of grace that intercepts us right before it's lethal, right before it's too much to handle. Not every being. Some people, they disappear, they ascend, they, you know, they have a terminal outcome to their suffering. And I mention that just because I think in COVID there is such a drive towards dark addiction again and relapse. So we'll lose some people to their demons. But those of us, you know, trying to hang with natural time can understand and accept that, you know, every time it gets really hard, there's going to be this glint of salvation. And that rhythm describes to me White Wizard. And I love it. I prefer it to like a linear life experience where you work hard and have a good meal and go to bed. Like, I'd much rather have, like, you have to save this situation and now go on the journey. We are sending you off, and come back having solved the problem and meet all of these, you know, odd challenge figures and figures of grace along the way. Mix it up, you know, do something that is super expansive and forces you to risk and let go of everyday inanity. So I think that is White Wizard. But, you know, that's complex, because White Wizard is the wave spell of healing slash the shaman. Being in the setting of a shaman, being the shaman, doing the act of healing. So I don't know why I fixate on this fairy tale part. I think the answer is that I'm kind of the hero's journey kind of gal, and I believe that these wave spells are that. And so this particular 13-year wave spell, now underscored by a 13-day wave spell, just tells me that life is interesting when we treat it truly as a journey. And when I say truly, I mean, that's what a wave spell is. I just outlined that 5 to 10 minutes ago. So how lucky that we just get to take journey after journey, you know, every 13 days, new journey. We had a 13-day journey to explore motherhood or the divine feminine or birth, how it feels to be in the birth canal or to be the one delivering. We did that for 13 days. It was a journey. And now we're in this other one, this other flavor, this other focus. And after this, you know, just to anticipate, oh, blue hand, that journey. And after that, yellow sun, that journey. So that's helpful since COVID is asking us to not take flight, you know, do it this way. Maybe I said insufferably, sort of egotistically, like, well, I don't travel a lot because I do this time traveling. So I'm pretty happy and excited even. I mean, I don't feel a lot of setbacks about being in a stay-at-home mode. And actually, just conversationally here, you know, I've always wanted to teach this system to prisoners, people who are in prison, incarcerated, because I feel like, well, you could be in a cell and all these synchronicities could happen. They could happen conversationally with other people on the cell block. You know, I'm not sure if it could happen in full isolation, but, you know, I would explore that. But you could just find, you know, the bird that alights on the ledge. I've heard about birds that get like trapped in the jail, and it's about as exciting as a, you know, a divine visitation, because it's animal life. And so that's Blue Eagle, you know, and so on and so on and so on. So we can do it during COVID. Maybe I'll be able to teach at San Quentin, which is two doors down. I hope to after COVID. I hope I could teach this and, explore, you know, that it's imaginal, and the signs and symbols will come no matter what your circumstance. So the signs and symbols right now to look for are these enchantment experiences that Lisa Starr calls the fairy tale vibe, and how you need healing and how you are the healer and how others need healing. I've had, you know, outreach for readings, and I'm like, okay, well, thank you so very much for doing a reading right now, because enter the sanctuary that I create that makes me a shaman of this. And, you know, just to be really clear, I believe everyone in their tribal description is a shaman of that totem. So if you're a yellow warrior, you're the shaman of warriorship, and if you are a white dog, you're the shaman of love and loyalty. So I'm not pretending that only some people get to be shamans. I think I'm making it more generic and widespread of a thing than that. I would assume that only a small, I know this, a tiny, teeny sub-percentage of the population on the planet, or even English-speaking, whatever, you know, outreach from Jose Arguelles to the Natural Time team, that is such a tiny number of people that if you identify as a red earth person, you could easily be a shaman, because there are a whole bunch of people that would never explore this or can't, don't even know to, that, you know, maybe they don't have to be shamans. Maybe they're, it's only once you look up your birthday that you kind of step through the portal, and I'm like, well, now I'm in the tribe and I'm an ambassador of this essence, and I'm going to use it to do good in the world, which is maybe all the shaman is. But it's the time of the shaman, so maybe I'm talking about it so you remember that you have that in you. Let's see, do you want to know about what's coming up? so today's yellow electric warrior, how can I best be of service? Question, answer. By questioning with intelligence and fearlessness. You know, I don't do that. I don't review what the action and power and essence of each day is right now, but I have a book that tells you. I know it's fun to be told, but I really like to not be that exact in these podcasts in case people want to listen back a bit. But the book, as well as all the online literature available, not particularly my website, but others, you can find out what the question is for today, the Yellow Warrior Day, the electric tone. You can find out the attributes. And then tomorrow will be red, self-existing earth. And it starts us in this process, which I'm more interested in talking about, that the last 4 days of the Dzogchen always sort of are this prescribed ritual that we can pay attention to. We can adhere to it. We can have the ritual. You know, the cycle of four doesn't get talked about a ton here, but it is so integral. Red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow. But the last four, red, white, blue, yellow of the 20 tribes takes us into the human sacrifice ritual of the Maya. And I think that if you're not paying attention to white mirror, the day, the tribe, in the midst of all this with, you know, no blinders on, no internal revisionism where you're like, white mirror, it's a day of reflecting. It is actually Etznob, the day that reflects flint, the blade, obsidian, that was carved, handheld, and cut out the heart of a person lying on a stone block at the top of a Mayan pyramid. And I don't know. I mean, probably they did it every 20 days on a white mirror day. I mean, that's my presumption. But in order to go through that, we have this surround, and the first day is red earth, and red earth will be the ritual summoning, the drumming, the burning of fire, the imitation of the earth's aliveness, its seismic aliveness through dancing, drumming, performances, burning things, you know, whatever, all the different kinds of ceremony that are ritualistic, that we recognize. They're pauses, they are focusing events, summoning events, connecting to earth events. And we do that for a day, and then we step into white mirror of the day, and we are preparing ourselves on red earth to recognize and realize that there will be some kind of sacrifice on the white mirror day, and I don't know ahead of time what it is. Not likely a death, not likely a ritual murder, but instead a loss of a kind that kind of cuts at your heart. And you know, wherever we are in our trajectory of our heart healing, we'll have to find out on a white mirror day, like, oh, well, I lost my hat hiking. I lost my hat hiking 2 days ago, and yesterday I found a hat and I was pleased. Like, okay, that's fine. It's a wash. But do you know what I mean? Like, on a white mirror day, it could be as mundane as that, or it could be someone breaking up with you. It's just going to cut at your heart. And that's shakes you alive. You know, it might be a death in the storytelling of ancient ritual, but it's actually an invitation to the afterlife, which is a higher life form. Dying and being in heaven is a higher life form than being on earth. So that's the action of the sacrifice ritual, is it's like a physicalized, localized onslaught of fear, grappling with fear, and then pain, physical pain, and then elevation and release. So you can look at that day as a sacrifice, but you can look at it as a release, a liberation, a lifting, a overcoming of something that's held you back, and a blessing. Okay, and then there's the blue storm day, which is sort of that afterbirth. It is seismic, or it is a rupture. It's a rumble. It's the call and response of all the dancing and drumming. Like, okay, well, here's the force of nature. The sky is opening, and winds are picking up, and a transition is at hand. And sometimes it really rains on a blue storm day, turns out. And then we have yellow sun, which is both the end and the beginning in the Dzogchen array of tribes. And it is sunny and warm and bright, clear. We have a direct access to our divine creator that gives us life every day. So that is what's coming up. That's a nice way to think about it. 4 days, four directions, finishing out the 20 tribes, still in the midst of the white wizard wave spell. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.